Morning, everybody. It's good to be here. I'm reading from Philippians 1, 12 through 17. Philippians 1, 12 through 17. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which actually happened, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. So that has become evident to the whole palace guard and all to the rest, that my chains are in Christ, and most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel.
What a blessing it is for us to be here this morning as we come to worship God in spirit and in truth. I do want to say from the beginning that I'm thankful always to be amongst God's people, to see this great number here on this morning. Hope, pray, and trust that life is going well, that you're making good spiritual decisions, that you're glorifying God in all of your actions. And hope, pray, and trust that as we are living this life, we are properly preparing ourselves for the next one. And this is what this is all about. As we come to worship God in spirit and in truth, hopefully we'll keep in mind that we are preparing ourselves for eternity. This year, we are under the theme, Awake Out of Sleep and Arise to Righteousness. We know that when we consider some of those thoughts, we want to look at this month defending. And we want to talk about this morning defending the gospel in a skillful way. And we're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 1 holistically as we consider some thoughts that will help us to defend the gospel. When we consider this great book, we understand that there are some things that we're going to find out that will help us, encourage us to strive to be the people that God will have us to be. Everyone should strive or aim for perfection. We live in a time today where people are mediocre. They're satisfied with doing the bare minimum, if you will. But when we consider a people, especially the people of God, we should never attempt to go into something doing it halfway or not all the way or the best that we can do it. As a matter of fact, we ought to always strive to do the best at anything and everything that we do. Whether it is our marriages, whether it is being a friend, whether it is being a Christian, our jobs, it doesn't matter. We ought to be the best at it, and we put our best foot forward. The same when it comes to defending the truth, defending the gospel. When we consider this particular book, the book of Philippians, it is a very skillful book. As a matter of fact, when you consider the word skillful, consider this definition. The definition of skillful literally means to be good at doing something. Some synonyms for skillful are dexterity, shrewdness, acumen, efficient, professional, versed, or polished. You think about that, and friends, I consider as the people of God, this is, should be our aim as well. Whether we are working for someone or whether we own a business, whether we are at home with our children, or it doesn't matter, we ought to strive to be just like this. Put our best foot forward. In Philippians chapter 1, in verse number 16, Paul would say something as it relates to this thought process. In Philippians 1, in verse number 16, as our brother, he read in the King James Version, I presume, and the New King James Version says it in verse number 17, so it depends on what version you have. But Paul says that I am set for the defense of the gospel. You think about that word set, it means to stand. Metaphorically, it means to be appointed.
I'm reminded of a sermon that I preached a couple of weeks ago from the book of Luke chapter 2 with Simeon in verse number 34 as he lifts up the babe Christ and he says that this child here is set or appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel. There's our word there. But also the Apostle Paul would use the same word set or stand in 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse number 3 where he says as relates to the afflictions that the Thessalonians were going through, he also was being afflicted and they benefited from it. You think about them standing and he was standing for the truth, standing for the gospel. But also when we consider the book of Philippians, Paul knew that his influence would benefit the people of God in Philippi. Friends, let's take notice of a few passages. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through verse number 16. And as you are perusing through some of those, you'll be perusing through that. Let me give you a little bit of background real quick. The book of Philippians was written by the Apostle Paul about 62-63 A.D., this is a prison letter, a prison epistle. Here, the Apostle Paul was in prison because of the gospel. The Apostle Paul, as he started this congregation in Acts chapter 16, he began it when he preached the gospel to Lydia and her household and the jailer and his household. You remember he and Silas were cast into prison because they took this demon out of this girl, little girl, and they were cast into prison and beaten because of that. Well, here we understand that the Apostle Paul, as he was dealing with the church at Macedonia, they loved the Apostle Paul, and Paul loved them. As a matter of fact, in Philippians chapter 1, verse number 5, Philippians 4, verse number 10, and 2 Corinthians 8, verses 4 and 5, the Apostle Paul was commending them because they were helping him, and he loved them for that. As a matter of fact, they were a poor congregation that they were given out of their means, and that sometimes they didn't even have enough to give the Apostle Paul, and they felt bad for that, but he was commending them for that. But when we consider back to why was Paul in prison, why is he writing this letter to the brethren here, these good brethren? Well, he's in prison because of the gospel. He's in prison because of the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the appearance of Christ. That grand story. The story of a man that came down from heaven, died on the cross, was buried, was raised the third day. That's why he was in prison. And when we consider this great story, friends, it was the gospel that he was preaching, but why was he cast into prison? Why would this help us to defend the gospel even today? Friends, when we consider the gospel and that great plan of salvation, Paul would tell the church at Galatia in Galatians 1 and verse number 6 that there was only one gospel. I'll tell you why he was in prison, because he was preaching an exclusive gospel. He said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him who called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. That was not a message that everybody liked. It wasn't a message that everyone wanted to hear. Why? Because the power to save mankind was in the gospel. In Romans 1 and verse 16, Paul said that the power to save was in the gospel. But also when we consider this, we understand that those who preach the gospel preach the truth. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18. The gospel was here to those who were lost. As Paul would be preaching to the church at Philippi, this was the message that he was preaching. But notice verses 1 through 4 of Philippians chapter 1. We notice in verses 1 through 4 that Paul was praying for them and he was giving thanks to God for them. Notice what the Bible here says. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, all saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul praying for you personally? Can you imagine this, friends? Always and in every prayer of mine, making requests for you always with joy. Here, Paul was praying for his brethren. They knew that. They loved him and he loved them. But notice verses 5 through 8. Here we see that the Apostle Paul was confident, and he wanted them to have confidence, and friends, they were confident. They were confident because they saw something in the Apostle Paul. In verses 5 through 8, he says, "For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing." Paul was persuaded. He was persuaded that the things that God had began in them, he will complete it to the day of Christ. One thing we ought to love about God, and really, this ought to help us to be a better people, that whatever God begins in us, he will complete it if we do our part. But we have to do our part. We have to strive to be faithful to Almighty God, as the Apostle Paul is telling the brethren here, being confident of this very thing, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers with me in this grace. Few things I want us to consider. Number one, in verse number 6, he said he's confident, he's persuaded. Number two, we see something in verse number 7. Notice what he says. The latter part, in the middle of the verse, he says, "I have you in my heart, in as much as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel." When you consider that particular word, confirmation, it is the idea of clear reasoning and firmness. Now, I want us to consider this for a minute. As the Apostle Paul is encouraging these brethren, he's thanking God for the type of lives that they're living. He's thanking God that they are hanging in there, even though he is in these chains. He's in bonds, if you will. And because of the reasoning and the firmness of the message of the gospel, let me say this real quick. Some 6 times in chapter 1 alone, the word gospel is used. Only 3 more times it's used in the rest of the book. The Apostle Paul understood that his chains were associated with the gospel. Yesterday, as I was driving, I saw a car pulling a truck. For whatever reason. And it was pulling it with a chain. And at the light, the chain fell down. I saw it. It was interesting. They had to stop and get out and reconnect the chain for whatever reason. And it made me think about that. Because Paul says, my chains are associated with the gospel. One thing about Paul's chains and the gospel, they will never come apart. It will never unhook. And it just made me think about something as it relates to our defense of the gospel. What are our chains associated with? What are we hooked up to? When we consider our example and how we ourselves are to be skillful in our presentation of the gospel. It's not just with words, friends. Our skill ought to be in the demonstration of the gospel in our lives. Just as the Apostle Paul was skillful in his demonstration of the gospel in his life, not only in the presentation, but in the life, because the very fact that Paul believed the truth, he believed the gospel, he believed that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross. Friends, there were people who took him and imprisoned him because of that. Then I thought about some application, just real quickly before we even get to the text. I thought about our chains. And how the gospel message, when we defend it properly, it teaches us how to be faithful husbands, reverent wives, faithful gospel teachers and preachers, strong elders, faithful members of the Lord's body, running away from sin, thus running toward God. You know, our chains ought to be linked to Christ. Our bonds are in Christ. Whether we are college students, we ought to be connected to Christ. Whether we're single, we ought to be connected to Christ. Whether we're married, we ought to be connected to Christ. It doesn't matter the allurement, the temptation that comes our way because of our chains being in Christ. nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. The more I thought about those chains, I thought about my own chains. Here the Apostle Paul would say in verses 9 through 11, there are three things I want us to highlight. Number one, I want us to highlight abound. Number two, I want us to highlight approved. And number three, I want us to highlight being filled. Notice the text. And this I pray, that your love may abound. When we consider our chains, sometimes why people lock us up, maybe because of our love abounding more and more in the knowledge of God, in the knowledge of Christ Jesus. But notice what he goes on to say in verse number 10, in order that you may be approved, that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order that you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ. We consider, what should we be chained to? We ought to be a chain to approving things that are excellent. But then notice verse number 11. Being filled, filled to the full. The word there is plerao. Literally, to be filled to the full, no room for nothing else. I thought about that, and we ought to be thinking about, what are we filled with? We ought to be filled with the fruits, the results of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of Almighty God. Remember, we said six times the word gospel is used. Look at verse number 5. In verse number 5, he was thanking them for their fellowship in the gospel. In verse number 7, notice what he says. The latter part of that verse, so we don't have to read all of it. Inasmuch as both as in my chains and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel. In verse number 12, he says, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which has happened to me actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Now, I thought about that. The things that Paul was going through because of the preaching of the gospel, living out the gospel in his life, the gospel message, actually caused the truth of the gospel to go further out. Now, I want us to stop and consider just for a second. Could it be because of the righteous life that we're living, that we're going through the persecution, and Jesus will speak about that in Matthew chapter 5, that people are actually seeing Christ living in us, the hope of glory, that they're able to receive strength because we're going through that too? Friends, it pays to live righteously. An unselfish individual doesn't mind living righteously. And a selfish individual doesn't want to go through the fire, if you will. But then look at verse number 17. In verse number 17, Paul would say, but the latter out of love, and we'll look at this here in a few minutes, that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. And in verse number 27, it's stated twice. He says, only let your lifestyle, your conduct, be worthy of the gospel of Christ. We can have a life that actually demonstrates the gospel of Christ. Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. So that whether I come to see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit and in one mind, striving together for the faith, notice, of the gospel. Hold on. All of us banding together, Brother Braswell, can do this for the benefit of the gospel? The answer is yes. Look at verses 12 and 13 again. In verses 12 and 13, we demonstrate skills for the gospel by making sure that our chains are evident. Paul says, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me actually turned out for the furtherance, the advancement of the gospel. It's interesting that the obstacles were not removed. The Apostle Paul just had strength to go through them. But look at verse 13. So that it has become evident. The word there literally means to shine bright. It was manifested. It has become evident to the whole palace guard. Now think about this. Here Paul is in prison, and we have the palace guard, you have the guardsmen, you have those who are watching Paul to make sure that he wouldn't escape. Of course, Paul wouldn't do that. But you have everybody watching the Apostle Paul, and he says that because of my life and my stance for the gospel truth, it has become bright to everyone here that my chains are in Christ. Wow. Friends, we have an awesome task before us. That it is all right to be chained to the Lord. Which means that when we study passages like Romans 16:16, salute one another. Brian did a masterful job, has been doing a masterful job on hope for the last 3-4 weeks. And the love we have one for another. Friends, that love is not just patting people on the back saying it's going to be okay. Sometimes it's admonishing one another. It's warning one another of the return of Christ. It's helping one another to see the gospel in a more clear way, reasonable way. And this is why when we consider the chains that Paul had, even those who are outside of Christ were able to see that this man here, he's tied to Jesus. He's tied to the truth. He's tied to the gospel. And he did not allow some imprisonment, some bond, some chains to stop him from doing the will of God. He's actually fulfilling the prophecy of the words of Jesus in Acts 9 and verse number 15, how he was going to suffer many things for the name of Christ. We consider our lives and our chains and the things we stand up. This is why, parents, you have to stand up even against your children in the home as it relates to moral living. Our chains are in Christ. When it comes to the outside influences of this world, we ought to be the one who is influencing them, not them influencing us. When we consider when we go out and even when we are among them in events, extracurricular activities. There's a wrong call. We don't act like them. When we consider the husband-wife relationship, those who are outside of Christ and inside of Christ ought to be able to see that the husband and wife truly love one another with a genuine and compassionate and passionate love. Amen. They ought to see that. We ought to see that the children are being are shown genuine love and discipline and admonishment, and the genuine love that they have one for another as relates to the siblings. They ought to be able to see that. Our chains are in Christ. Why do y'all act that way? Why do you talk that way? Because I'm chained to Christ. I'm chained to the gospel. Here we understand this very thing, and the Apostle Paul would say in verses 14 through verse number 16, notice what your Bible here says. Brethren, we're becoming bolder and bolder because of the life of Paul. And this is where I have to relax a little bit, because there's been some things that has been happening even in my own personal life with some good brethren over the last few weeks that has caused me, Mike Bonner, to become more and more bold. And we need brethren around us that's going to stand for the truth. And it might not be mainstream. It might not be popular. It might not be liked. But friends, as long as we hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, you've been faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many, enter into the joys of thy Lord." That's the goal. It made me think about the Apostle Paul, and made me think about the words of Jesus when he said, "Few be there that find it." Which means few are looking for it. Here we see that men were becoming bolder and bolder because of Paul's chains. He was chained to the Christ. He wasn't in prison because he was a criminal. Brother Royce, he was in prison because of the gospel. He wasn't in prison because he was an immoral individual. He was in prison because of the truth of the gospel. He wasn't in prison because he was a coward. He was in prison because of the Christ. And sometimes people might put us in a mental prison. Might even get bold enough to lay hands on you and put you in a physical prison. But I guarantee you that those who are striving to do the will of God will gain strength from it. Notice the text. Verses 14 through 16. And most of the brethren, notice what he says here, in the Lord, having become confident. The word confident there literally means, Brother Brian, that they were persuaded. They were induced. They become more confident by my chains. Hold on, Paul. You're in prison because of the gospel. You're in prison because of the truth. You're in prison because of this great death and burial and resurrection and the appearance of Christ, this great message of hope. You're in prison because of this. And brethren in the Lord are becoming more and more induced. This is why when young people see us as older, they ought to become more and more bold to live right because they're seeing it in us. From the words of Foy E. Wallace, if not, why not? Notice what he says. They become more confident by my chains, are much more bold. This is an attitude. To speak the word of God without fear. Our faith, love, sincerity, and precision in the word of God should encourage, empower, and excite one another to infuse the gospel message into our families, our friends, and our foes. Just because the world acts crazy doesn't mean we have to. This past weekend, I was privileged to speak to some youth. And I was watching the news with some brothers, and it was so negative. I don't watch the news. I'll just be honest, I don't watch no news. And I'm glad I don't, because what I was seeing, this was in San Antonio, what I was seeing, I can't take it. It's horrible. It's dark. It's bludgeoned. It's horrific. And no wonder the gospel message which we preach brings forth light. It brings hope. It brings assurance. And what was happening to the Apostle Paul was a dark thing to some, but it actually brought forth light to others. And Paul had the right attitude, even though he was placed in this position because of the gospel message. He had the right attitude, and others benefited from his attitude because of his message. The word bold there, they become bold in verse number 14. The word literally means, listen to this, it's an idea of extreme conduct. In other words, they were willing to step out and say something because of the Apostle Paul. The reason why I said what I said earlier about some brethren, there's been some good brethren that have been standing up for gospel truth here lately. And I've received more and more encouragement from them to stand and study harder and look at things closer. And this brother, I'm not going to say any names. He gave me a call the other day, and he was giving me arguments based upon the arguments that we're looking at. And he said, Mike, I'm giving you this so there's no doubt in your heart. I said, man, boy, I'm in my office, man. Jesus, I'm the only one up in here. Boy, I'm like, whoa, this is good stuff. I had to get up and walk around the building. I'm kind of glad Pope wasn't here, because I'm like, man, this is good stuff. And I've got more and more bolder in the gospel. It's not arrogance, friends. It's boldness. Some who are carnal-minded and arrogant would say, you're being arrogant. No, being bold. This is what the Bible says. It's interesting that people will be bold in a lie, but won't allow us to be bold in the truth. So notice what the Apostle Paul said. Friends, we just exegete the scripture. We're just bringing out these points in the scriptures. And friends, it's unfortunate that some didn't have the right attitude. And the Apostle Paul understood that. Notice verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ. Now, don't mistake what Paul is saying. He's saying they're preaching Christ, but notice, even from envy, strife, and some also from goodwill. So you have some who didn't have the right attitude, envy, strife. Those are not of God, but they were still preaching the truth when you look down into the context. Now that scared me some. Because that told me that I can preach the gospel. I can preach the truth. And I can preach boldly. But if I preach with the wrong motive, I'm wrong. Now that bothered me. And then it made me think about what the Apostle Paul said again. In 1 Corinthians 9 and verse number 24 through 27, and with the focal point of verse number 27, he said, I buffet my body, lest when I preach to others, I too will be a castaway. You know what that also teaches us as Christians? That we can tell people the truth, and we still be off. Oh, the God of heaven wants us to be pure in and out. So notice what he says in verse number 16. In verse number 16, it's powerful. He said, the former, those are the ones of goodwill, preach Christ from selfish ambition. Those are the ones of envy and strife, I'm sorry. Preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction. Now notice, they're thinking because they're doing this way, they're actually making it harder on the Apostle Paul. Paul said, you're not doing that. You can't make it harder than what it already is. But Paul said, I'm in these chains because of Christ. I'm committed. Every husband ought to be committed. Every gospel preacher ought to be committed. Every wife ought to be committed. Children, be committed. Teach your children to be committed to God. And when we're committed to God, those who we work around, those who we labor around, those who we play around, they're going to see our commitment to Christ. Friends, if we want to preach the gospel and declare it in a skillful manner, it's not always with our words, but it's with our lives. It's with our lives. So notice verse 17. All that was introduction. Here's the message. Here's the message. Verse 17. But the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed. I'm set. I'm not going nowhere. This is where I stand. One thing a man loves is when he knows where another man stands. He don't even have to agree with him. Just to know where he stand. God wants to know where we stand. The palace guard knew where Paul stood. The brethren, whether they liked him or not, knew where Paul stood. Our friends, families, and foes ought to know where we stand. They ought to know where we stand on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. They ought to know where we stand on the Holy Spirit teaching. They ought to know where we stand as it relates to the one Lord, one faith, one baptism. They ought to know where we stand on moral living. They ought to know where we stand. They don't have to agree with it. But they need to know where we stand. And when they know where we stand, friends, people around us can grow more and more bold to do the will of God. Could it be that some young people don't stand on gospel truth because too many of us who are older don't know where we stand? He said, I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel. His appointment to the ministry of reconciliation was a blessing not only to the church at Philippi, but to the Corinthians. Not only to the Corinthians, but to the Romans. Not only to the Romans, but to the Ephesians. Not only to the Ephesians, but to everyone who would listen to the Apostle Paul. Our defense should be seen in San Angelo and everywhere else. Brother Dennis, you would find this encouraging. And the elders. The other day I was talking to a brother outside of the city and we was talking about some of the works. He heard about the radio station. And I gave him a card with the radio station website. And I said, you can listen to it online. And you think about that. Dennis, did you hear that? You can listen to that online. He said, what? I said, yeah, 24/7, preaching and singing. He said, man. I said, yeah. And I thought about Paul. Shouldn't our influence not only be in San Angelo, but everywhere we go? I want to encourage everyone. You grab one of those cards in the back with our radio station. Give them cards out. Spread the news that we're spreading the gospel on the radio and other ways too. So they can hear the truth of the gospel. They can be encouraged by the singing. They can set their minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Friends, there is so much to do. And how those brethren drew strength from the Apostle Paul being in prison. Friends, it may come one day where brethren might say, Brother Mike, we don't like what you're saying, even though we can't prove it. Hopefully you'll stand. Hopefully you'll draw strength. Because I'm not retreating. There's no yellow streak down my back. My mama didn't raise no. My blood don't pump no Kool-Aid. You know, all of us ought to be men of God. All of us ought to be women of God. And people ought to be able to see our strength in Christ and draw power, strength, encouragement, and excitement. If not, why not? We can gain courage from one another, and we should. I leave you with this. Defending the gospel skillfully is not just about quoting the right passages, but also being the right influence and having the right attitude while doing it. Oh, arising out of sleep and awaken to righteousness. Defending the gospel with precision. We ought to do that. People ought to be able to see our lives and say, I want to follow you to Jesus. And then once we get them to Jesus, they can follow him the rest of the way. Maybe you're not a child of God. We want you to be. We want you to obey the gospel. It is good news. It was good news when it was prophesied through Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 verses 1 through 3. It was good news when Jesus Christ came by way of a virgin, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. It was good news when Jesus was baptized by John in Matthew chapter 4. It was good news when Jesus was walking this earth at the age of 30 through 33, teaching and preaching and doing good works, Acts 10 and verse number 37 and 38. It was good news when he was being scourged before he went to the cross. It was good news while he was on that cross. It was good news when he was in the tomb. It was good news when he was raised from the dead. And it's good news now that he's on the right hand of God. It's good news. Just because some look like they're sucking on lemons and persimmon don't mean that it's not good news. It's good news. Because there's not another man that would have done it. And praise be to God that we serve a God that was willing to do something that no other man would be willing to do. If you're not a child of God, you need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, Son of the living God. But I already do that. I'm already believing Jesus. Well, have you repented of your sins? Have you confessed Jesus to be Lord? Have you been baptized in water for the remission of your sins? Jesus said, Go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Jesus said that himself. Some have the unmitigated gall to go to the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10, saying that the only thing you have to do is believe. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized. Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins? Maybe you're a child of God and your chain has fell off the car. Your chain has fell off the Christ. You're at a stoplight. You need to get hooked back up. I just thought that was so ironic to see that chain off the car like that. And Paul would say, my chains are in Christ. Where are your chains? Who are you linked up to? Why are you linked up to him or them? Where are your chains? As we stand and have to sing to save us.